Let's start with the BMO capital call because it's a useful entry point into the larger story. Brian Pitts at BMO reiterated an outperform rating and a $119 price target on Uber this week, and the language in that note is worth parsing carefully. He's not just saying ride-sharing is going to grow. The specific framing is that Uber's expanding AV infrastructure and growing partner base should position it as the preferred mobility platform for autonomous vehicle manufacturers. That is a very particular thesis, and it's one that has profound implications for market structure.
The key word there is preferred. What Pitts and other Wall Street analysts who share this optimism are essentially betting on is that Uber won't need to build its own autonomous vehicles. Instead, they'll be the distribution layer, the platform through which every AV manufacturer reaches riders. Think of it like how Apple's App Store doesn't write the apps, but takes a cut of every transaction. Uber's play, if this thesis holds, is to become the app store for autonomous mobility.
And the three continents framing is doing a lot of work in that headline. Uber has AV partnerships that are now active or in advanced development across North America, Europe, and parts of Asia. That geographic breadth is actually a moat. It's not just scale, it's regulatory diversity. A company that has learned to navigate the different licensing regimes in California, Germany, and Japan simultaneously has institutional knowledge that a pure-play AV startup operating only in Phoenix simply doesn't have.
Wall Street consensus on Uber is broadly bullish for exactly this reason, Marcus, but I want to introduce a note of skepticism here that I think is important. The preferred platform thesis assumes that AV manufacturers will want to route through Uber rather than build their own distribution. But we've already seen Tesla make clear that it wants to own the full stack, the car, the software, the rider relationship. Waymo has been experimenting with its own direct-to-consumer app in San Francisco and Phoenix. The assumption that AV makers will cede the customer relationship to Uber is not settled.
That's a fair tension to name. The counterargument from Uber's side would be that the economics of building a consumer-facing mobility brand are brutal. You need density, you need trust, you need marketing infrastructure. Uber has spent 15 years and billions of dollars acquiring those things. A company like Renesas, which makes chips, is not going to want to also run a consumer app and manage surge pricing algorithms and handle customer complaints at 2 inches the morning. So the question is really, which AV players will want the full vertical, and which will prefer to just put cars on an existing network?
And the answer probably isn't binary. Some, Tesla, maybe Waymo, go full vertical. Many others partner with Uber. And that's actually enough to make the BMO thesis work, because Uber doesn't need to be the exclusive platform. It just needs to be where the majority of rides happen. At 7,722 on S&P futures this morning, slightly softer than Friday's close, the broader market context suggests investors are in a mild risk-off mood. But Uber's AV narrative has been relatively insulated from those macro swings because the thesis is so long-dated.
Right, you don't buy Uber at $119 because you think Q3 earnings will beat by 4 cents. You buy it because you believe the 2035 mobility economy looks structurally different from today's, and Uber is positioned to extract rent from that transition. That's a different kind of investment decision, and it requires a different kind of conviction.
Which brings us directly to what Andrew McDonald said at the end of August, because his remarks are essentially the internal narrative that Uber is now willing to make public. And that shift in communication strategy is itself worth noting.